I just want to bring just a couple of thoughts from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 to 9, which say these words. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," make his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. There's a race every year, and I don't know if you know it, but there's a winter race. It's run by the company called Montane, and it's called the Montane Winter Spine Race. And it's just happened. It's just the 2026 version has just happened. And it's widely regarded as the most brutal endurance race in the UK, if not the world. It's non-stop. It's 268 miles. And it runs along the iconic national trail, the Pennine Way. It starts in Derbyshire, and it goes, and the runners have a time limit of 168 hours to make it to the Scottish borders. They have to climb over 10,000 metres, so they're going up mountains and down valleys, and they go through the Peak District, the Yorkshire Dales, Northumberland, Hadrian's Wall, and the Cheviots. It's, as they describe it, it is a truly epic challenge. And it tests of physical resilience and mental fortitude. This year, it started 2 days after Storm Greta. So runners experienced the full intensity of what a winter could hold in the UK, with snowdrifts and freezing temperatures, and then that melting, and then the gale force winds and the driving rain. It is truly brutal. Brutal. Me and Matt are doing it next year. No, we're not. It is truly brutal. Now, as you'll know, I've done a bit of running, and I've done some fairly decent length races, and I've done some what I would class as a pretty challenging. But when you look at the videos and you see some of the Instagram posts of what these runners endure, where they're sleeping in toilets just to get that little bit of a rest, I'm truly amazed of how they manage to continue, how they keep going when everything seems to be against them, just to complete that race. I have the same feeling, but with the added intensity of emotion, when I consider what other believers, Christians around the world, have to endure within their Christian walk. They're exactly the same as us. But what they have to go through each day and each week is truly remarkable as to how they keep going to complete and to finish the race. As we've seen in our reading, and as we see elsewhere in Scripture, the Bible is clear, isn't it, that Christians will experience persecution. We'll experience it in all different ways. The world will be against us because of our faith. And actually, maybe for you here, that is really acute at the moment. And it might be at school, it might be at work, it might be within your family. It is really challenging just to be a Christian. But we have to admit that for most of us, we can chat about work, about our Christian faith. We can talk to our neighbours about where we go on a Sunday. We can be open about our faith with our family and our friends. We can discuss what we believe, and we can have a conversation with them. Each Sunday, we can walk to church, we can drive to church, we can open these doors as a place of worship. We can join with other believers to sing God's praise. We can open the windows. We can make a noise. We can let everybody round about us know that we are here to praise and worship our Lord. But for millions of Christians around the world, that freedom is not there reality. I've got three quick things to say about our reading and that which we looked at, first of all. Firstly, it says there, doesn't it, in verse 7, we have a treasure. So what is that treasure? Actually, verse 6, I think, or verse 7, I think I've got it wrong there. It said, what is that treasure? Well, actually, that treasure is described in verse 6, and that's why I added it on, where it says this: let light shine out of darkness. Made his light shine in our hearts. This is what God did. He made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus. That the treasure is the knowledge that we have that has been given to us by the Holy Spirit. I'm reading a book this year, and it is quite, well, it's got lots of difficult words, but actually, this bit was great, and it's a book by De Jong, and he says this: the work of the Spirit in the heart of the believer granted us eyes to see the infallible truth of the divine word, ears to hear what God has to say, and lips to taste that the Lord is good and his work is immeasurable. We were reminded this morning in the kids' talk, weren't we? We don't have to shout it out. You only have to do it in the morning. But we were reminded, weren't we, that we are created in God's image. We're created to have a relationship with him. We were created to be one with him, to know him, to reflect his character, to live in his love. But because of the sin of Adam and Eve, that relationship was broken. Mankind turned away from God, choosing independence over trust. And the result was separation, guilt, spiritual death, a world fractured by evil. We needed saving. And that knowledge was made known to us. And so we give thanks to him. We needed saving. We needed rescuing. We needed the good news. And that good news was the Lord Jesus Christ. Through his life and his death and his resurrection, God forgives our sins, restores us to himself, establishes that relationship and brings us into his eternal kingdom. That is the truth that we know. And actually, if you don't know that this evening, that's the truth that we all want you to know. We want the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see the truth of his word, to understand it, to understand that the relationship that you have with God is broken and can only be fixed by the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we do know that truth, when it has been revealed to us, it's actually entrusted to us now to hold on to and to make known to others. That's the treasure that we have. So we have a treasure. Then, secondly, it's God, not us. If you have something important, something you really value, and you maybe, whether or not it's a document that says you own this house, or whether or not it's just something that's been passed down your family and it's really valuable to you, you'll keep it safe, won't you? You'll make sure it just doesn't get chucked in the garden or just doesn't get lost with everything else. Let's be honest, the crown jewels aren't kept in a shed outside, are they? They're kept under guard. Everyone's guarding them. No one's going to steal them because they're important. They're valuable. They're treasured. The most valuable and the most important treasure in the world is the treasure of the gospel. It's been entrusted to people like me, and it's been entrusted to people like you. We are the jars of clay that are mentioned there in them verses, in verse 7. We're subject to infirmities and limitations, instability and insecurity. However, 2 Corinthians also says in verse 12, verse 9, it says this: but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Tasker says these words. He says, there's a striking paradox, makes it clear that the gospel is not product of human ingenuity. I told you some of these books have big words. No product of human ingenuity. No clever discovery of human intellect. No bright idea of some outstanding genius. It's the revelation of the power of the sovereign God. It's all of God, not of us. And then finally, just on this, but not, the words but not. In Discovery Devotions this year, we're going through the Old Testament. And I could get Joshua, he'd be able to tell you all about it. But we're going through the Old Testament, and we did Gideon. And in Gideon, there's the story of the clay jars, isn't it? And Joshua's there with his men, and they've been whittled down to just a few of them. And they break the clay jars, and inside was a torch, and the light shines out. And that reminded me, sometimes the clay jars need to be broken in order for the light to shine out. And that's the same with us. We have written here, don't we, that Christians will be hard-pressed. Christians will be perplexed, persecuted, and struck down. And for millions of believers around the world, this is very much a reality for them there. Like I said, the World Watch List 2026 by Home Doors reported that the number of Christians facing persecution is 388 million worldwide, suffering high levels of persecution and discrimination. North Korea, 50 to 70,000 believers are imprisoned in labor camps. And then other countries such as Somalia, Eritrea, Libya, Afghanistan, Yemen, Sudan, Mali, Nigeria, and Iran. People are suffering because of their faith. But when we hear these stats, we can be shocked by them, we can be in despair by them, dismay by them, we can be despondent and lose heart. But actually, I don't think we are to lose heart, because what does verse 8 and 9 say? It says, yes, Christians will be hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down. And maybe one day, that will be us. But we will not be crushed. We will not be in despair. We will not be abandoned, and we will not be destroyed. Open Doors says this on their website, where faith looks impossible, God is doing the impossible, and the church continues to grow. This is not, the church in these persecuted countries is growing. Believers are hearing the word, and lives are being changed. Clay jars have been broken, which means that light is shining out. And so tonight, not only will we pray for these Christians, but we will pray not that the persecution necessarily stops, but actually that light, when it shines out, continues to change people's lives, and they continue to hear the gospel. Just like maybe our clay jars need to be broken, so the people round about us will also see that light and hear the gospel. There are so many stories of God's people, through the power of His Spirit, doing the impossible and making sure that the light, the message of the gospel, continues to shine out, even in some of the darkest places of the world. Amen.